Good evening. Glad to see everyone here tonight. Four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all give us different accounts of the life of Jesus Christ. And tonight, I'd like to focus on one particular event that three out of the four have something to say about it, and then the other one likes to put things all together in a common perspective. If you would look with me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Mark, chapter 15. Here, Mark gives us his account of what is taking place as Jesus is dying on the cross. Very similarly, in Matthew chapter 27, you find the account listed in very similar way. Here, as Mark says in chapter 15, notice beginning in verse 37. Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." A centurion, after witnessing what had taken place the minute that Jesus was dying upon the cross, confessed him to be the Son of God. It is interesting that Matthew also says that he was the Son of God, but according to Luke's account, something a little bit different is stated. Notice now what Luke has to say in chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Here in verse 47, Luke says it this way. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." It is interesting to note that Matthew and Mark say something to the effect that Jesus was the Son of God. Here Luke says, the centurion reports, that he was a righteous man. Was there a difference? Well, all of these statements regarding Jesus Christ are very, very true. And they are important for you and I, even today. You see, we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. According to the Gospel of John, in chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus explained that unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And that's the reason why Jesus was dying upon the cross, because He knew no sin. Neither was any guile found in His mouth. And so He had to sacrifice Himself that our sins could be taken away. And because Jesus did so, that allows us to recognize the righteousness of God. In the book of 1 John, chapter 2, there beginning in verse 1, here is how John ties this together. He says, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." We have to recognize Jesus as the Son of God. We have to recognize that He is a righteous man. But you know, because of Him, so can we become children of God. So we can become righteous people. And we know this because, first of all, here's what Paul says regarding God's Son and us. In Galatians chapter 3, there in verse 26, he says that we are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Because of our faith in Christ, yes, we can become the children of God. And again, that is how John ties all this together. In his first chapter of his gospel, in John chapter 1, there beginning in verse 12, John says it this way, that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Just as a child is born of his parents, Jesus taught Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John that one must be born again. And by doing so, we show our faith in God by becoming his children. But how does that mean we become righteous? Well, when we look to Christ, who was righteous, it is through him that we can become righteous. In Paul's letter to the Romans, there in chapter 5, he said very clearly in verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." Through one man's obedience. I don't know about your Bible, but mine has this man with a capital M. That indicates to me that he has got to be speaking about Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus was obedient in everything. Even as Paul taught the Philippians in chapter 2 and in verse 8, that he became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. The very time in which the centurion said that he was truly the Son of God, and yes, he was a righteous man. If you were to put these terms together to say God's righteous children, does that not sound appealing? Does that not have a good ring to it? I would hope so, because you see, if we become children of God and live righteous lives as he has called us to, it has its benefits. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, "Little children, let no one deceive you, for he who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous." By doing righteousness, by being like Jesus Christ, who is God's only begotten Son, yes, he says we are righteous. And why would one want to be righteous? Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, there in chapter 25, you'll recall that Jesus explained there were things that we could do to serve one another. And by doing them unto others, Jesus explained that we do them unto him. But in Matthew chapter 25, there in verse 46, as Jesus was explaining all the things that we do, we also do to him, he says, "These will go away into everlasting punishment," speaking of those that do not do them. But then he adds, "But the righteous into eternal life." The righteous will inherit eternal life. Can you and I tonight say that we will inherit eternal life? Well, first we've got to determine, are we children of God? Are we living righteously as we should? If the answer is yes to both these questions, we may enter in. But maybe we have not become children of God. Well, we can do that tonight. If we are not living righteous lives as we know we should, we can start right now. If you need to be obedient to the invitation of Christ tonight, won't you come as together we stand and sing?